welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I'm grateful that you chose to be with me on this Saturday, May the 13th, 2017. That's what this satsang, this radio program is being recorded on, or for, shall I say. And I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as my television programs, are here to serve you, to help you in any way they possibly can. And for your kind participation in all of this of listening, I hope you will become a sponsor. The only way we are able to afford airtime is through your sponsorship, your tax-deductible gifts. So if Aspire is being of service to you in any way, shape, or form, I would hope that you would choose maybe to give back a little bit and help us keep our radio program on the air. It's one of the more important things we do, along with the television program, to serve humankind. And you can go to the website at aspire.org and listen to all sorts of past radio programs, as well as watching my TV series that I've done and am still doing, and enjoy the, hopefully enjoy the insight that is given to you there to bring about maybe some kind of change in your own life and to serve you in some wonderful way. That's all it's really about for me and for all of us who work very hard to make Aspire possible. If you're interested, go to the website at aspire.org. Take a look at Support Aspire. You will see a little button there that says Support Aspire. If you pull that down, a menu comes in and says, why Support Aspire? And if you click on it, it'll tell you everything you wanted to know about supporting Aspire, where your donations go, how they're used, and you can even sign up from there. So I hope you will give it consideration. I really do. Every penny counts. And a message such as the one that I offer is way out there for a lot of people, but it's still very concise and needs to be supported because it serves you in the bigger picture of your life. Something that a lot of us just don't get. We're going to talk about control today. Control. What does it mean to control? Everybody wants some sense of control over their life. So I picked out four really lovely questions from three very nice people, and I think you'll find them kind of interesting. At least I hope you do. The first one is from Jan, and she lives in, let's see, where is this? Orange County. I see control over my life, Greg. I can control a certain amount of things in my life, my actions and my reactions, but I can't really control my fate or my destiny. Who controls those things? Is it by what I do daily? What happens? Where is my control? Jan. Jan, to a certain degree, we can control certain aspects of our worldly life. There's no doubt about it. I like what you said here. I chose your question because I liked, you know, the part where you talk about, well, I control my actions and my reactions, and that you and I can control, okay? But there is something else going on here that is bigger than our actions and our reactions. I say always, always temper everything you do with love. Always temper everything you do with love. Because in the bottom line, that's where the karma starts to come from. That's where the karma starts to develop. And that's where my fate and my destiny develop. So the things you're doing now in your life where you are being, let's say, mindful and conscious of controlling your actions and reactions, and I'm going to assume that you do that in a loving way, a most loving way, sets into motion some very beautiful things in your life and can set into motion even more beautiful things in your life. So it isn't like therefore not. Being kind, being loving, being diligent, really attaining to detail in your life, the detail of your heart, your real heart, not your human heart, sets into motion some very beautiful things. So there's really, oh, just wonderful things that are happening there and with all of that. And that's what you want to do. I agree with you. But there is the uncontrollable, the parts that we came into this world with to learn, to mature, and to excel. And let me explain what that means. We basically live without the care of consciousness. We don't see consciousness as being very important, and nor do we, as a general rule, know what consciousness is. Consciousness is a state of being. It is that which makes me aware. Consciousness comes out of awareness. Awareness comes out of meditation. Awareness comes out of a sensitivity beyond my intellect, beyond my human heart. It is my ability to go into second, third person and start to see how this big thing operates called life. So there are certain fates and destinies we've set into motion in past life experiences. These fates and these destinies come to meet us at various times in our life. And when they do, they're there for us to remember, to become awakened in, to develop consciousness in. Instead of looking at them as problems, we have to see them for what they are. They are the beauty, the grace of a goodness that lives very profoundly within your heart. So it is very important for me to see that bigger picture, to understand the nature of that bigger picture. And when I understand it, when I'm aware of it, when I am giving into the awareness of it all, I start to manufacture kindness and love in my karma. And as that starts to grow and expand, then, well, I don't know what then. And I've always loved not knowing. Because every time I thought I knew when I was younger, I was wrong. So wrong. All the time. Not part of the time. All the time. So rather than coming to conclusions about, well, if I do this, then I do that and I get this. I never went that far, but I did think, oh, if I do this and I get that inside of me, then maybe this beauty will start to roll out of me. But that wasn't true. Here's what happened. The more I delved into developing the state of consciousness that I was looking for through meditation, the more intuitive I became. In that intuition, I could see how the begats worked. This begat that, begat that. This made that happen, that made that happen, that made this happen, that made that happen. And I started to see the oneness of everything. And that was more the point, to realize the oneness of everything and to recognize the bigger picture. So that became my whole effort, my whole thrust in life. There are many things, Jan, we can't control. Many things that, you know, just can't be controlled in any way, shape, or form. But the more you understand the nature of your heart and the nature of your living and the nature of your being, the more you develop consciousness. And when you and I develop consciousness, then we can serve humankind. And please remember, Jan, everything that we're doing in this world is to serve humankind, because we live in this powerful oneness of life. So the things you do now with someone else or to someone else will hurt or bless everyone in this world one way or another. It all depends on what you're doing, what you're looking for, and how you want to live your life from the premise of consciousness rather than conscience. Because when I live in conscience, I live in fear and self-hatred, guilt and shame. But consciousness is another thing. And I can't tell you what's going to happen because I don't know. But I know this, like begats like. It's that simple. Love begats love. And if you just keep going in that direction, everything will be clear. And what is appropriate for thee and me is going to happen for thee and me. If you know what I mean, Jelly Bean, please forgive me. Namaste. The problem with a lot of inner work and such things is that it's really something of a mystery. We enter into the mystery when we're doing spiritual work, real inner work. And we don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. All that I can do is set forth the love and the begats that would be beautiful for me and you and put those into motion. And these radio programs and TV programs and things I offer you are a lot about that. They're just putting into motion things that live inside you that are so beautiful. And we forget. The next question is from Gary. He does not tell me where he lives. How do I control my thoughts to be positive? I tend to be a very negative person. I know this. People complain about it. So how do I become positive, Gary? Gary, it's not about being positive or negative. It is about being authentic. So don't be looking at the Richter scale of being a positive person or a negative person. Look at it as being an authentic person. If you are authentic, you transcend the whole idea of positive and negative. You transcend it and you make it possible for there to be love. What is a mind that is no longer fighting with itself, in contradiction with itself? A mind that is no longer fighting itself is a mind that we call in Zen, no mind. It is a mind not seeking control over right and wrong, good and bad. It is an authentic mind, a mind that sees into everything. Non-duality is what it is called. And when you are moving deeply into non-duality, by no longer trying to be positive or negative, good or bad, right or wrong, you set into motion laws that exist here in the universe that are very kind and very healing, very forthright. And it can change your entire life if you want it to, and it will. But you must set into motion this great love within you, this great joy within you, this great beauty. You have to feel the beauty of it all. You won't know that if you are doing positive or negative. Positive is just as foolish as negative because they're both imagined and they come out of my imagination, my fears, my guilts, my shames, whatever they are that runs your life. So to become non-dualistic means that you just simply don't fight with your own thoughts. You don't merge your thinking with your emotionality or any of the things that pertain to emotionality. You just put it forth. You just put it within. Nati nati, as we say, neither this, neither that. You have that attitude. I'm not going to be positive. I'm not going to be negative. What is in between them? But authentic, the authentic, being real in any given situation. And if you don't know what's real yet, wait. You don't have to react. You don't have to respond in any negative way. You don't have to. You can look at any given situation for what it is, and instead of casting aspersions on it, cast no aspersion, no judgment. Just watch it. Learn how to watch what is happening without the need for there to be a conclusion or without there to be a need for this was a good thing, this was a bad thing kind of deal. You don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. Meditation is about dropping deep into yourself and beyond the idea of having a self or not having a self, of being authentic or being, you know, maybe what people want you to be or whatever that stuff is that people like to get involved in. It's an extremely interesting state of being to be non-dualistic. It is in that non-dualism, that non-dualistic mind, that we find the authentic and the real. And once that has been touched in any way, and we start to immerse ourselves in that, a real change starts to happen within us. I can't explain that change because I don't think there are any words for it. The only thing I can think of that would probably get near it is something called being loving. This lovingness exceeds the idea of emotionalism. When we are not emotional, we have changed. We have become something totally different. We have reinvented ourselves, as it were. But now we're not an invention of the mind. We become a expression of the heart. Living, loving heart. You may have negative thoughts. Maybe you are. Maybe. I don't know you, Gary, obviously, but sounds to me like you suffer from a form of depression, and that makes us neurotic. So when you start to sense all this coming on, I don't know if it's chemical or if you induced it upon yourself. 9 out of 10 times, I think, with people, it's chemical. It has something to do with their genetics, that their forefathers, their mother, their father, or their grandparents, somewhere down the line, the pecking order, as I call it, have become or were depressed. You're going to have to really look at this and see what it's all about. Depression is an indulgence, I find. And so you're going to have to find the center of it, the epicenter of it all, the place that makes you feel as though everything is negative. And that just might be a chemical thing in you. It really might be. If it is, you need to seek professional help. You need to seek a physician and ask him if there is anything that has come about in this world where that could be neutralized in some way. I don't know. I read a lot about antidepressants. I read about it a lot because, you know, I have students that are on it and et cetera. It keeps them level. But, you know, is it good for you? I don't think so. Is it something that can be controlled through meditation or inner work? Some of it, yes, but not all of it, because it's very difficult to get beyond the human body. You would have to do a lot of very serious inner work to achieve any sense of balance within yourself if it is chemical. If. So you got to find out if it's chemical, what you can do about it, and then all you can do is work upon yourself. What is it? What's at the core of my negativity? Am I just a pessimist? Am I worried about something? Is there something in my being that is not complete? Is there something I need to do that would fulfill my heart, my soul, find some sense of creativity and inner purpose that goes beyond the ideas and ideals of hate and fear? That is the only way to really know. Once you know all of that, once you become aware and you have your information, that's when you can do something about it, if it is chemical. If you are bringing this on just to bring it on because it is your personality or your nature as a human being to do it, you're going to have to see it as an indulgence. And if it's an indulgence, then you're going to want to stop. At least I hope you will. Because it doesn't do you any good. to be negative about anything. It doesn't do you any good to be positive about anything. It's the authenticity of it, to see into the nature of everything, that will help you the most. And that is developed through meditation, through focus. Gary, without knowing your medical history and everything, I feel like I can't help you that much. But I've made some suggestions that I hope will help you, and you'll be able to hear what I'm saying to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The variables in human beings, how we vary from each other and our own self, is a very touchy subject. It's very interesting. And, you know, what's good for the goose may not be good for the gander. You never know. The last question comes from Tom, and he does not tell me where he lives either. All of a sudden, Greg, I'm at 55. I feel out of control in my life. Is there any way to regain control, Tom? Tom. You're a funny man. I like you, Tom. No, listen to me. We were never in control in the bigger picture. We set things into motion without knowing it. And of course, then turned around and went neener, neener. We just didn't pay attention. And so we think that, we were in control when we weren't. As we age, it's a very humbling experience. What was it that I forget who said it? Some movie star, you know, getting old ain't for sissies. I think it was Betty Davis or something like that. But nonetheless, less than none, here's the deal with your life. You're not in control of any of this. You've set into motions things in your life, your life here in your last life, that have already percolated and are now forging away, as I like to say, in my life, and doing their thing. And the only thing you can really do is observe and watch it, learn to understand it, learn to accept it, and be able to flow with it in any way, shape, or form. And I know that's a difficult thing. I know nobody wants to do that. They want to change the course of the river, you know, that's rushing by, and find a better way not to get old, or a better way not to get cranky or senile or whatever it is that they're afraid they're getting. But that's just not the way it works. What you're going to have to really understand is, was I ever really in control? Was I only fooling myself into thinking I was in control? And if you really look back, you'll see you and I set into motion all sorts of things based on how we worked with our emotions, or what we did with our emotionality, and we put those into work, and here we are sitting here with our junk hanging out and our brains, and living our life according to the manner of our impulses. And we, when we were younger, were arrogant about our ignorance, and many people still are. And there's nothing more dangerous than arrogant ignorance. And we went out and we thought we could just do what we wanted impulsively. And here's where we wind up. And we think, oh, well, I was in control. You're not in control. You set into motion energies that sustain whatever it is that is the source. In this case, it would be emotionality. So what can I say to you except treat everything like it's medicine. Treat everything that is happening to you as a medicine that is healing you, bringing you closer and closer to the meaning of your own life. And if you do that, then you have something that is really worthwhile. You have something very important. If you don't do that, then you're stuck with what's going on, and you're never going to be happy with that. And you're going to think, oh, golly, this was just a waste of time my whole lifetime. And it really wasn't a waste of time. It was just a misunderstanding. And you can change that anytime, in any way, in any place you want to, just by being conscious. let love live you. You do that, and you've got a lot going for yourself. I got to get out of here. I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. I hope you will join me. Thank my beautiful questioners and my beautiful listeners, and have a beautiful day. Please forgive me. Namaste.